Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
Hey, it's a brand new week, and it's a brand new us. Time for us again. Look. Those weekend golf guys. Here we are. I'm John Ashton. I'm in the studio.
How about Jeff Smith here at the Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, sitting out on the veranda, folks? Gotta love it.
Yes, indeed. Pinehurst, man. Hey, slumming, you know, again,
here's
buddy.
Here's the best part. Well, not the best part, but one of the great parts. Let's say it that way. So let's think. I'm hanging out. I'm behind the 18th green on number two, and we're watching people come in, and we got our burger, we got our drink, and we're watching people 30 yards away from us making putts. Guy holds a chip shot. Everybody goes crazy, doffs his cap to the crowd, you know, does the wave, you know, and all that. And here we are. We've been out here for, you know, a good 2.5 hours. You know, a couple of golf pros and I just sitting there, and we're watching action come in. We're watching people hit shots, their approach shots into the 18th hole. You can see how they land. You can see how they get turned away because Donald Ross is such a benevolent designer of golf courses that all these shots that come in nice and high and they bounce hard and they get rolled off the greens. And next thing you know, people got a 35 foot putt and a 60 foot chip and all those things. Yes, that's, we get to see that.
How many of them start crying at the 18th? Because, you know, I would imagine for most, Pinehurst number two is a bucket list thing for them. And when they get to 18, it's over.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. But, you know, that I see a lot of guys that were looking very happy. I don't know if they're happy to be finished or happy the fact that they actually got to, you know, play Pinehurst number two.
Right.
Or lucky that they didn't lose 15 golf balls, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
I'm not quite sure exactly what that is.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've been getting a lot of, before we get any further, I just want to tell people, I hope you have gotten your November, December issue of Golf Magazine. If you do not subscribe, go out and get one at a newsstand close to you, if they still have those anywhere. And you may have to go to an airport to buy magazines these days. It's like the only place I see them for sale anymore. But open up to the back where it says lessons. It's next to the last page. And there's a technique in there on hitting good drives by a guy named Jeff Smith. So this is a repeat performance for you in Golf Magazine, bud.
Yeah, you know, I feel pretty fortunate, honestly, that that they'll publish that. And this particular one we shot almost a year ago. I was at the Top 100 Teacher Conference in Scottsdale, and that particular one we shot in November of last year.
Cool.
And it was kind of neat. So it gets in the November, December issue. And weirdly enough, I was in the one that was a year ago. I was also in that one when we were at the conference. I was one of the people in the magazine at the week of the conference. And this year, here comes the conference again. And I'm in the magazine at the week of the conference. This is, it's crazy, right? It's a little odd.
It is.
But nonetheless, what I learned is that I stand a good chance at being published if I stay relatively thin and wear nice, bright colored clothing. So no more burgers for me.
It's, Papa John is crying already.
That's exactly right. I got to cut down on my pizza intake and my burger intake, and you know,
yeah.
And but there's a lot of great teachers out there, and there's a lot of great information.
Yeah, and I noticed a difference too. There's a difference now. We used to make fun of the lessons in the back of the magazines.
Yeah.
But most of them used to be, from my recollection, back 6-7 years ago, a lot of them were written by tour pros, not golf pros.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're always trying to get readers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're trying to get the magazine sold, they're trying to sell advertising, all that. So what they're trying to do all the time is to get someone that can get people's attention to do the golf information. So, you know, there's always a big question as to who they're going to have do what, you know. And for a little while there was not enough professional golf, either instructors or players, actually writing the articles. There was people who were just, say, journalists, so to speak, that were writing the articles.
Yeah.
And then that's hard too, because that they don't sell as many magazines that way.
Yeah. I was just, you know, happy to see that they have found a formula that lets the average reader get a lesson from somebody who knows how to communicate a lesson.
And
does not presuppose a higher level of ability like the touring pros used to do. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, I've got something else I want to talk to you about real quick before we get into the bulk of what we're going to be talking about today. But I have been getting, and I'm sure you who are listening have been getting a lot of emails and a lot of references to this new Japanese putter grip. And I'm talking about how to grip it with your hands, not a physical, you know, grip to put on your putter, but it's where you take, like, if you're right-handed, you take like 3 fingers of your right hand and then 2 fingers of your left hand and intertwine them and then keep your index fingers on the grip itself and your thumbs, you know, on the grip also. And it's supposed to be a great way to keep your putter head stable and not worry about twisting.
Yeah, we're always looking for ways, and we have been for quite some time, looking for ways to put our hands on the club so that our forearms don't rotate. So if the putter head's not rotating, because it's already arcing. So if we add twist to the shaft, rotation to the arcing, we have trouble.
Yes, right? We do.
We have trouble. So, you know, There's always been a grip or two that's out there. You know, I've taught people many times to put a double interlock and the thumbs on the shaft. And that also will stop that forearm rotation. And even if you still, you know, can't feel like that's the right way to go, you know, sometimes you just single interlock and squeeze the pinkies. So whether it be the ones that I'm talking about or the ones that you brought up with the ones that you called the Japanese version, you know, there's a lot of different ways.
Yeah, there are. But at the same time, they're all designed, as you say, to stop the shaft rotation, because that seems to be the biggest mistake that a lot of us make when we're putting. Is, you know, we think we're aligned and then we hit the ball with a putter head that is no longer perpendicular to our target. And we have a problem, because if the putter head is not perpendicular to the target and you're not very, very, very lucky, you're not going to get that ball in the hole. It's just not going to happen. And I also saw a thing too.
It's always a challenge.
Yeah. I also saw a thing too with a guy just using the little gizmo that they use to measure the speed of the green, not the meter itself, but the gizmo where you drop the ball and it rolls. and he had six golf balls, and he had it aligned. I don't know how far away it was, but he had it aligned with the hole, and he took six balls that were running relatively fast, and five of them with the stick in, five of them hit the stick and fell in the hole, even though the ball was going quite fast. With the stick out, all six of them hit the hole but bounced off or up or over.
Yeah. So
there is method to the madness of the rule change of being able to putt now with keeping the pin in the hole.
Yeah, you know, there's a study that you just mentioned. There's also a handful of studies that show the opposite, you know, and I think that it has everything to do with where the heck you're hitting it on that flag stick. Let's just say that those were all dead center flag stick shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that if they were going as fast as what you suggest, they were moving at a decent clip, so to speak.
Right.
If that hit a little bit off center, that thing starts to get out of the hole very fast.
It would ricochet, probably, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, you have these studies like the one that you've just said, and then there's the studies that show that off dead center hits on the flag stick, they go out. And then there's the question of how many times would you hit dead center of the flag stick and have it drop in at speed, or at the same speed, hit it just off center flag stick and it goes out. And I think that we could all understand that it'd be a whole lot harder to hit it absolutely dead center. So we'd have a fewer number of those that could have a chance to go in. So I don't know. I mean, when you put a flag stick in the middle of a hole, you're effectively making the center of the hole smaller. It would make sense that it would be very hard to have something run into that thing and not bounce off and still make it in the hole.
Yeah.
I don't want the flag stick in at all because I don't want to take the chance of the thing bouncing out. The hole looks bigger when there's nothing plugging up the center of it.
We've got a lot more good stuff to talk about. Jeff just gave a big 2-hour speech at the Top 100 Teacher Conference. We're gonna get an encapsulated version of it when we come right back. Hang on. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Is hiring a challenge? Yes. Do you love a challenge? Also, yes. You need a hiring partner, though, that can help you rise to that challenge. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's powerful hiring platform can help you do it all right there. They streamline hiring with powerful tools that find you matched candidates. So if you're like us, a small organization that doesn't have a whole lot of time to hunt down people, well, Indeed makes the hiring process all in one place easy. Candidates we invite to apply are 3 times more likely to apply to the job here than candidates who only see it in a search somewhere. That's according to US Indeed data. And we get one step closer to the hire by immediately matching with quality candidates. Our job, quality candidates, matched. Bam. Just like that. Want to try it? Of course you want to try it. We want to help you try it too. Here's what you do. Go to Indeed.com/weekend and we'll hook you up with a $75 sponsored job credit. So if you have an opening now, you can start hiring now at a discount. $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/weekend. The offer is good for a limited time. Once again, $75 credit now at Indeed.com/weekend. You know, in the minute I've been talking to you, 16 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data. Be the 17th. Indeed.com/weekend. $75 sponsored job credit is yours right now. With Indeed's matching platform, you will find who you need. Indeed, you will.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com. For more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. Thanks for hanging. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith, top 100 teacher, lecturer at the top 100 teachers conference. See how I said that with a little French accent there?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Matter of fact, that made it all the more entertaining for everybody.
I imagine it did. one of the things that we were talking about, that you talked about, was the difference available in technology by going to a pro like you and technology available over the counter, so to speak, for me to use at home.
Yeah. You know, as I was talking, a big topic in my conversation at the conference was, you know, what are some, you know, five essential keys to coaching in the modern era. And the first thing we have to do is kind of define what's going on in the modern era, right? Well, mm-hmm. Right now, and forever in the future, it will be advancements in technology.
Right.
And, you know, and then there's technology out there that measure golf balls and golf clubs, you know, launch monitors. And there's technology out there that measures stuff in the body and how it moves. There's technology in how we work out to improve our golf swings. There's technology in the stats tracking that we do. So there's all kind of things, but let's talk about the things that homeowners can buy, the regular Joe golfer can buy at a decent price that doesn't break the bank, versus the professional grade stuff, you know. Okay. And there are big differences here in what's going on. Now, for example, let's talk about your car, John, right?
Okay.
So think about a beat up Yugo that you could buy for $500.
Mm-hmm.
Your car that you could get for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a Lamborghini that costs $100,000.
Okay.
Let's think of what you can expect to get out of each of those kind of vehicles, right? Everybody's just got it in their head right now that they're shockingly different things.
Right. I mean, it's simple. The Yugo can maybe get you to where you want to go.
Yeah, but is it reliable?
Exactly not. No.
Right.
Is it consistent? No, it's not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But it could tell you something. It could get you there, right?
Right. It could.
You hope.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. But your car, right?
Yeah.
In good shape.
Going to get you there. Right? Going to get you there reliably unless something untoward happens. And it's going to get you there comfortably.
Yeah. And that yet is affordable.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Lamborghini is going to get you there fast.
Yeah. It's going to be sexy.
Yeah, buddy.
Right? That somewhat is how we can look at some launch monitors these days.
Okay.
So you have the affordable, the Yugos, the $200 to $300 things that they say we can tell you certain things that are going on in your golf swing, or you know, like how fast is the club moving,
right?
You know, right? It can tell you those things, they say. And it can tell you, how far your ball would carry, so they say.
Mm-hmm.
But they are neither reliable nor consistent, nor sometimes they're also not very accurate.
Which kind of defeats the purpose.
It does. But those are being sold out there to people. But the technology isn't good enough to tell people the truth, but people don't really know that.
Mm-hmm.
Under the heading of what are you going to get from a value out of a couple of $100 right. in one of those launch monitor things, right? Versus the $2,000 to $5,000 versions that are affordable but you got to sweat a little bit to get them. Kind of like your $30,000 car, right? You mm-hmm. got some pavements on that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're more accurate. They're certainly more reliable, and they're certainly more consistent.
Right.
And then there's the professional grade thing, kind of like the Lamborghini, the one mm-hmm. that I have, that is accurate and is reliable and is consistent.
And is also tax deductible. Tax deductible, well, I might add.
Yeah, but not to a degree that you would think.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Everybody goes, but you can write it off as if I didn't have to pay the money to begin with. People, yeah, it's a write off for you, though. Like, wait a minute. I still had to come up with that amount of money
to
walk it down and buy the thing. But that doesn't mean I get to write it all off in my taxes that year either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a hard thing to swallow. So anyway, but the differences are those things, right? The high end version, the professional grade model, tells me the correct information on a consistent basis, and it's very reliable. But yet here's the rub. The guy who buys one that he can afford, doesn't enter his mind that the one that he bought that he could afford, either the really inexpensive one, you know, $200-$400, or the $2,000 version ish, is actually not accurate, nor consistent, nor reliable all the time. They think, well, it's a machine, therefore it must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Is yours as right as mine is? You know, and that's the thing, is that none of these companies who make these can afford to have that accurate information be that cheap. It takes too much to get all the stuff detailed correctly. So it is always in those expensive models. But people just say, well, it's a machine, therefore it must be right, so I need to trust it. All right. To some degree, people are saying that, but the professional level people, we're not getting paid to be wrong. That's for sure.
Right.
So we need to have the tools that are telling us that. So that's part of this. How do we make sure we're coaching in the modern era here, is we gotta know all this stuff. We gotta be able to tell our people, you know, like I'm doing right now, there's stuff on the market that I have to learn about that I don't even ever gonna own, but I still need to know it because my clients are asking me questions about which one they should buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Can imagine. Yeah.
So it's really interesting because if they bought one of my students, all right, let's say he wanted to buy one of those $500 ones and use it in his basement all winter.
Mm-hmm. Would you tell him absolutely not, or just
I would
counsel him on not trusting it? Okay.
I would tell him, don't waste your money. And I would explain to them, because I know about this product, because I've tested it and I've understood what they are, that there are too many things that it'll get wrong and you won't remember that these things are wrong because you want it to be correct. You've spent some money on it. So you have a built-in belief system that it is correct. And then you'll find out that it changes a lot. You're really not sure what you're going to get. And that's difficult because when you start to see things, you're thinking things are wrong or things are right in your golf swing, if that's what you're looking for, based upon what you're being told.
Right.
And if the thing that's telling you that is inconsistent at best, you got trouble, right? So that's where I tell them, don't waste your money. Now, if they're going to upgrade and go to that middle version, the homeowner grade something or other launch monitor, right? Mm-hmm. That's a couple of $1,000 and above. Okay, so there's enough good intel there to make it worth the purchase, but it has certain limitations that I have to tell people about so they don't believe certain things about what they're saying, because they put something on a screen that says we got you this information, I need to know which information that's actually accurate, or is that a guess?
And a man needs to know his limitations.
That's right.
I heard that once. Yeah.
Yeah. That is very true.
Do you think, just real quick before the segment ends here, Do you think that the average guy, even the one who spends $2,000 on a launch monitor, understands what all those numbers mean? Or does he just want to watch the flight of his ball on the screen?
I do not think that they know what all those numbers mean.
Right. Okay. I don't
know. I think that they think it they do, but yeah. I'll bet you that they don't.
Okay.
Yeah. We could talk about that for a little while here in the next upcoming segment, because
I think we will. Because
yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
If we can help people understand what those numbers mean, then you know their purchase could be much more meaningful to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
they could feel better about what they've got and how they're going to use it.
So even if they're not accurate, the $500, you know, a couple hundred dollar versions. If they are not accurate, that means even the pretty flight that they watch on the screen is not necessarily representative of what they did with their swing, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you don't even have to know what the numbers mean. You just can't trust the picture. And if you can't trust the picture, why bother?
Exactly.
Just asking.
That's it's the right question to ask.
Okay.
Right? You're like, wait a minute, why did I buy this? And that's why I always caution my students to go, not a good thing to spend your money on.
Let's talk about the numbers when we come right back. You need to hang out. We are those weekend golf guys. Do not you move a muscle, okay?
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-239-6987. 800-239-6987. 800-239-6987. That's 800-239-6987.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back. Now you can move. We were playing statue there for a while. We are those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor, Jeff Smith. And we're talking about launch monitors and the differentiation between the quality of the information you can get depending on how much you had to pay for it. However, I would imagine that, as is the case with everything technological, that the prices of all of them will be coming down. You know, once the research and development money is recouped, once the prices of the internal components go down, then the price of the equipment itself goes down.
Well, much like any piece of technology anywhere, they're always trying to make improvements in their own products.
Sure.
And at the same time, someone else is trying to make a better version of the product they made and sell more of them. So there's always competition.
Yes.
And some people are buying based on price. If the two things are close in quality, the people will spend the one that costs them less. So at every time you turn around, they're trying to break out something new in a piece of software, or they're trying to break out something new in a piece of hardware, whatever the thing is going to be. And the older something gets, if it's not, say, upgradable from the company, like a piece of firmware upgrade that you could download into it or whatever, if it just is what it is, then it becomes obsolete.
Right.
And then the prices go down. But let's say that you have a launch monitor X, and they're about to come out with the newest version of X. They are going to drop the price on X in preparation for the new version.
Right.
Very quickly.
But I'm also, you know, things like I have a desktop computer here that I bought a year ago. I also bought a desktop computer 30 years ago. The one I bought 30 years ago cost me almost $3,000. And it doesn't do half as far as speed and processing that the one I just bought a year ago for $299 does.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So, I mean,
technology's come a long way.
Yeah. So why should the technology of a launch monitor be any different than that? Or is it just that launch monitor companies are so greedy they will not lower their prices?
Well, I think the market probably dictates that.
I'm sure it does. Yeah.
Let's just say that you're a professional grade launch monitor company and the price of your thing is $20,000 and people keep paying you $20,000.
Right.
Is it greed to keep it that way? Is it greed to raise it and find out if you'll still get paid?
Yes. Well,
okay. So let's say that you're the CEO of said launch monitor company and you have, like you just mentioned, you paid the R&D and you did this, you did that, you know, did the other thing business-wise. What about paying your employees and making sure they've got enough? Mm-hmm. What about hedging your bets toward the future to make sure that your one and only product that you're selling right now doesn't go obsolete and you don't get kicked in the teeth by the competition, then everybody stops buying your product?
Right.
Are you putting it into future R&D, right? So, you know, I guess there's all kinds of ways to look at that, but almost every time any manufacturer of anything comes out with something new, the something old starts to say get pushed out the door at a better price because they're trying to break out the new thing. So
yes,
you got to kind of consider all those business factors of those prices, but everybody would love to have the best launch monitor on the market and not pay a whole lot for it. But
right. Oh, of course they would. But again, you know, intelligent companies understand that, you know, there is a differentiation in their market, in their niche. Are they going to sell,
yes,
you know, the best damn launch monitor that does everything but the dishes and sell it exclusively to professional teachers and coaches? Or are they going to try to break in with the best launch monitor possible into the consumer market?
And, you know, there's a company out there that's done that, you know, actually two of the three big launch monitor companies that are out there that have professional grade units also have homeowner grade units.
Mm-hmm. In the four figure price points, right?
Yes.
$2,000-$4,000 jobs. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
One of them even stretched itself a little bit thin and went with a pocket-sized homeowner version of it that was selling for $600.
Okay.
But I think all they got there was something that sullied their name.
Okay.
Because people could say, well, I got a, you know, and throw out the brand name mm-hmm. thing, and it doesn't work worth spit. I can't trust the number, right? So they kind of did themselves a disservice on that one by going all the way down to the cheapest level and still having their company's name on it.
Right. Yeah. And that's why a lot of companies have different brands for different price points. But
yes,
the money we need, I mean, the numbers we were going to talk about though, are the numbers that the launch monitors return that you understand completely well. A lot of your students probably think they understand, but you don't think they do. What numbers are we talking about?
All right. So the basic ones that people do understand right away, right? Club head speed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's dying for that. Carry distance, they're dying for that. Mm-hmm. Total distance, they're dying for that. Ball speed, everybody can get that one. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
All right. So then there's another number called smash factor.
Yes.
Or efficiency. And what is that?
Beats me.
And this
man.
Is where people, that's where people start to go, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, let's say, let's use the easiest possible mathematical equation here.
Okay.
With this basic understanding, club comes in, smashes into a ball, ball leaps off the face, right? And the ball speed coming off is, let's say the ball speed coming off of a club head that's moving into it at 100 miles an hour, club head moving 100 miles an hour, smashes mm-hmm. in the back of the ball, back of the ball gets crushed, and the ball leaps off the face at 150 miles an hour. Okay.
Okay.
That is the maximum allowed in physics. 1.5 times the speed the club is moving, the ball can move off the face 1.5 times that speed.
Okay.
So a smash factor would be 1.5. And that is only attainable on the driver and the putter because of lack of loft.
And that's not USGA
specs.
You're
no longer launching the ball upward.
That's physics.
Physics.
Yeah.
Right. So the ball couldn't even possibly be measured at anything faster than 1.5 times the speed that the club is going in,
right,
because the club cannot transfer any more energy into the ball at that point.
Yeah.
So the ball can't leave the face. So they call that smash factor or efficiency.
Okay.
Makes sense. Okay. Yep. So, but it only happens on those low lofted clubs again, because they send the ball out instead of deflecting the ball up.
Right.
Right. So a wedge couldn't possibly have the same smash factor as a driver. Is the highest one on the wedge you're going to get, or the highest one on the driver you're going to get, are very different animals. Because one is not launching a ball forward very hard. It's launching it upward.
Okay.
And the other is launching the ball forward. So the forward speed of the ball coming off the face is always going to be higher off those lower lofted clubs.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Right. That's the first number that people get screwed up.
Okay. And that's the smash factor.
Smash factor, right? And then there's one that people think they understand, and let's call it the path that the club is traveling on to get to the ball.
Okay.
You know, people say, oh, well, that's in to out, or out to in, or down the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you have a path that's plus 2 degrees, what does that mean to you, John?
It would mean that you are 2 degrees further off the center.
Yeah, in which direction?
I have no idea.
It'd be to the right. Because let's say that you drew a line on a piece of paper in front of you, mm-hmm. and drew arrows at the end, and you drew a zero right in the middle of that line. Everything on the left side of that line is a negative number, isn't it?
Okay. Now that's just for a right.
Positive. Right.
That would be just for a right-handed person, though, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is the difficult part, right?
Okay.
This is where things start to get a little screwy. So let's say that the left-handed person, his goal is no longer to swing it +2, is it?
Okay, yeah.
Unless there's a way to switch that in the software of the launch monitor to make it flip.
Yeah.
Right. So that's that's where things start to get a little bit weird for people, right?
Are there any other numbers that get a little bit weird? Because we're about to end this and we're coming right back.
Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and follow us.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-441-9109. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-441-9109. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-441-9109 to donate your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts.
If your company stayed open during COVID, I have some great news for you. Government funds are available to reward companies who stayed open during the challenging time. Now, this is not a loan, and you do not have to pay it back. Your hard work to stay open could qualify you for up to $26,000 per employee at COVIDpayment.com. You heard that correct. Up to $26,000 per employee. This program is complicated, but nobody knows more about it than the tax experts at COVIDpayment.com. You pay nothing up front. They do all the work and share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, including nonprofits and churches, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans. If you have five or more employees, let COVIDpayment.com help get you up to $26,000 per employee. Visit COVIDpayment.com. That's COVIDpayment.com. COVIDpayment.com.
All right, we are back for some time yet because the numbers are getting weird and people are getting confused. I'm John Ashton. He's Jeff Smith. Left-handed or right-handed, plus... plus numbers in the path or to the right, negative numbers are to the left. Okay. Yep.
Now we've got face numbers. All right, a face angle.
Okay.
If it's facing 0 degrees offline, it's going straight at your target, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have hoped.
Facing straight at your target. Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, so positive numbers would be to the right and negative numbers would be to the left. Same thing.
Okay.
Got it. Now, here's the number. This is the thing that it measures. Most of these things will measure this. It'll measure the direction that the club is traveling in the air into the back of the ball. For example, a right-handed golfer, like most of us are, it's traveling from behind our bodies to out in front of our bodies to smash into the golf ball. So in to out, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then there's the face in where it's facing at the time it smashes into the ball. Relative to the path. Okay.
Okay.
What if the face is twisted to the left of wherever it was swinging? That makes sense?
Yeah.
You could be swinging a club face that is angled left before it touches the ball, even though it is traveling through space to the right.
Mm-hmm.
The difference... in this is the face relative to path or the face to path number.
Okay.
So let's say the face to path number is 4 degrees, minus four. The face is now left of the path by 4 degrees. So no matter where I'm swinging the dang thing, my face is 4 degrees left of that.
Even if this your path is 2 degrees to the right.
To the right.
Yeah.
Or it's 0 degrees at the target or 2 degrees left. The face to path number is -4. And that means the face is pointed left of wherever you're swinging this club into the ball from.
Okay. So of all those things you just mentioned,
yeah,
which is going to affect the flight of the ball more?
The face to path.
Okay.
Because if John, if your club face is twisted one direction or the other differently than where it's swinging to, you are going to create spin
right.
and curvature.
Right.
But if the face to path number on a launch monitor is zero, that means the face is pointed exactly where your club is traveling into the back of the ball, and you will get a linear shot, a non-curve ball, straight line shot, so to speak, right?
Right.
So I think it's important to know that as I teach golf and I make people better, the first number that I'm looking at, if we're trying to reduce the curve in the shot, I'm looking at that launch monitor telling me, how closed or how open was the club face relative to where they're swinging? I'm looking at the face to path number first.
Gotcha. So that would be, of all the numbers, that would be the ultimate, the primary, the number one.
Yes.
The thing that, as we've already discussed, the thing that affects the flight of the ball most drastically.
That's right. So if I'm trying to kill a curveball, I'm looking at face-to-path relationships all the time.
Okay.
All right. Well, what if I'm trying to speed the club head up and speed the ball up and carry distance further? What am I looking for? I'm looking for club head speed. I'm looking for smash factor. Looking for ball speed. That's what I'm looking for if I'm trying to make the thing go faster.
Right.
That's the one that the player looks for all the time. They want to know their club's moving faster for sure.
Right.
Right. John, if I said to you right now, your driver club head speed is 81 miles an hour, what's your brain saying?
Swing faster.
Yeah. If I said it's 105 miles an hour, what do you think just happened if it was you swinging the club?
I hurt myself.
Yeah, that's right. Right. So there's this. So you've clearly understood, as the normal average casual golfer, you understand club head speed perfectly.
Okay.
Right. Now, ball speed. All right, John, you're swinging the club at 95 miles an hour, but your ball speed's 110.
Okay.
Came off the club.
Right.
I know, but your ball speed came off the club faster than the club was being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you know that that's at least not terrible.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that you got to look at and say, okay, I delivered it at 95 miles an hour and the ball left the face of the club at 110. So I know that I'm at least like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Got it. So you know that you're relatively close to the center of the face.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask. How can you increase your smash factor? And that, and it's hitting it in the center.
Okay. In the center of the face. This is the everyday common sense argument of, hey, John, I'm going to hold a club face right up to your, right in front of your face. I want you to touch the one and only one place the ball can come off the club fastest, and you will point exactly to the center of that club face, won't you?
Yes, I will.
Now, what that means is that you're right, but it also means that I'm about to identify the fact that it won't come off that club that fast if you hit other parts of the club face. And the further off center you hit that, the slower your ball comes off. So your smash factor goes down and your distance goes down, even though you may have been swinging at 95 miles an hour. As soon as
I guess what I need to know is the smash factor always 1.5 if you hit it in the exact middle of the club?
That's the only way you can get it there.
Okay.
Right.
Can you ever hit it in the middle of the face, club face of a driver and not get 1.5 smash factor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why?
So let's say you're swinging it and it's an indirect blow. It's coming way up or way down. And so you're not hitting it as, you're getting it in the center of the face, but the club is traveling on an angled path relative to one that would go straight through the center of the ball, and it wouldn't deliver the punch that you want.
Okay. So that would be the path number then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a little less than 1.5.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So it's a little bit of a glancing blow. Think hammer to nail.
Yeah.
Hammer traveling at a certain speed coming in, hits the center of the head, but what if the head of that hammer is traveling a little off center of that nail and doesn't deliver a direct blow?
Right.
It still hit the center of that head, but since the head is traveling a little bit differently, you're going to miss.
Yeah.
And it's going to not deliver as much power, as much force, even though it struck that spot on the hammerhead.
And maybe even jump off and, you know, crush your thumb. You got to watch out for
something.
That. Yeah.
Right. You do have to watch out for that. That's important to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we've basically done then is probably confused everybody to the point where.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, we know what the numbers mean now, but we still don't know enough. Like the question I just asked, if I hit it in the center of the club face, is there any way to know that I hit it in the center of the club face if the path is off? If I know I hit it with a glancing blow, but I hit it in the middle of the club face, I mean.
Well, in these homeowner grade products.
Yeah.
No,
Okay.
In the professional grade products, yes.
Okay.
For example, the one that I have, we put stickers on the face, and the professional grade product that I have measures those stickers and it knows where the ball is. So it knows how close to the absolute dead center you hit it.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Right. It also is measuring the speed of the club, the angle of the club coming in. It's measuring all things about the face and the traveling. So right. Then it measures the speed. The ball comes off really fast and it knows right away.
So I think what we may have discerned here is that keep your money in your pocket. Don't spend money on a $300-$500 gizmo. Even the $2,000-$3,000 gizmo may not be sufficient. Keep your money in your pocket and dole it out in smaller increments to people like Jeff, who have the right equipment and the right knowledge to tell you what the numbers mean. Because you get the accurate numbers and you get somebody who knows what they mean and can fix it all.
Or at least if you're going to get that homeowner grade product that cost a couple $1,000s to maybe $6,000, if you really want to do that, at least know what it can do and what it cannot do. And don't look for answers, because some of them will try to tell you that they're good at this and it's not a measurement, it's an extrapolation. And the extrapolation is the difficult part, because you'll take it as if it's fact.
Yeah.
So you got to know what it is that you bought and what it is good for and what's measured versus what is extrapolated.
But just think,
and if you can keep your fact finding to what's measured, you're actually going to be happy with your product.
Just think what it'll do for your game. If you can get all those numbers, whether they be from something you buy or from something that a guy like Jeff has, if they are accurate and you know what they mean and you're with somebody who knows how to take what those numbers mean and correct what the problem is that's making the numbers wrong, then how much better will your game be the next time you go out and play some golf?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.